The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, this week's message.
I want to speak to you today about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. This is going to be a little different than what I normally do, if you are familiar with what I normally do. And if not, it'll be just fine. There is, in the Scriptures, in the Bible, an overall consistent illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this goes throughout the Bible. You'll see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Actually, you will see it from the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, and in the book of Revelations, to the book of Revelations, which is the last book in the Bible. It is used as a type, a shadow, and an illustration. The Bible consistently, throughout the whole thing, uses this one theme, if you want to call it that, a theme, throughout the whole Bible. Different aspects are revealed of the character, the person, and the work of Jesus Christ as you progress from the first book to the last by this one illustration. Now, this is what we call, this is what we mean by, what I mean by, the progressive revelation of Scripture. It's, you know, not that people found out more about God. It's the fact that God had revealed himself more. And in the different instructions we have and what he inspired these Old Testament and New Testament writers to write down, we have what is known as what we call a progressive revelation. You see one thing here, then you'll see that same thing later, and then something else is added to it. Just the Bible puts it this way. You are to basically pay attention to all of the Scriptures. All of them. Why? Because here you take a little, and there you take a little. Here a little, and there a little. And all these little pieces of knowledge add up. This book is a book of Jesus Christ. God progressively revealed the Son through the illustration that I'm just about to speak to you about. Because he revealed in the Scriptures Jesus Christ, and he revealed him in it as the Lamb of God. Let me just start. Here's an instance. In Genesis 4 and 4, we have the account of Cain and Abel. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That's what he brought. Vegetables, fruit. Abel, who was a keeper of sheep, brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Because here in this illustration, what we're going to see is that the lamb is necessary. The lamb is necessary. Cain brought something, but Cain did not bring the right thing. Cain brought an offering. He wanted to worship God. Abel brought a lamb, a firstling of his flock, and he was a keeper of sheep. That makes it a lamb. And we are told that God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Then we're also told that God had not respect unto Cain and his offering. Abel brought a lamb. Why? That's what God had told them to bring. I don't think this is something that Abel came up with on his own. His father Adam had told him. this is not, there's no hint of any surprise here. God actually spoke to Cain after this was over. He says, if you do right, will you not be rewarded? Cain knew what he was supposed to do, and Cain didn't do it. See, in this account, here at the beginning, this is the first time you'll hear of a lamb being offered as a sacrifice in the scriptures, Genesis 4. Here we see the necessity of the lamb for acceptance before God. Then in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Here in this account of Abraham and Isaac, in this account we see the provision and the substitution of the lamb by God. Abraham was going up into the mountain, and what Abraham was planning to do was exactly what God had told him to do, to offer his son, his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. That's what Abraham was going to do. It seems shocking today. Well, I'm sure actually it was shocking then. But that's what Abraham was prepared to do. Abraham, God spoke with Abraham as a man spoke to his friend. It's amazing. We don't have that today. As far as I know, we really never had it after this. Not to this extent. But when Isaac asked Abraham, he says, we've got the fire. We've got the wood. Where's the lamb? Abraham told him that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham prophesied right there. Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac up. But God provided a lamb. There was a ram caught by its horns in a thicket up there. And he told Abraham, now that I know you would withhold nothing from me, not even your only son, I'm going to give you this lamb, this ram. It's not actually technically a lamb with horns on it, but Abraham said it. God's going to provide himself a lamb. And this is what God provided. And that lamb, that ram, caught by its horns, was provided by God, and it was a substitution for Isaac. It was slain in Isaac's place. There was going to be a sacrifice today, on that day. There was going to be a sacrifice. And God provided not only a ram, but also a substitute for Isaac, so that Isaac lived. There must be a lamb. There is the necessity of the lamb. That's what we learned in Cain and Abel. And Abraham knew that. Isaac knew that. Where is the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God has to provide a substitute for his people. Why? Because without the provision of God, there is no substitute. There is no lamb. There is what? No acceptable sacrifice. Now, the next thing we look at is in Exodus 12, of course, the Passover. It's one of my favorite accounts in all of Scripture. But here in Exodus 12, we see the slain lamb. The lamb slain, killed, with blood being shed. And ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. We see the lamb slain and its blood shed. The lamb had to be slain, and the lamb's blood had to be shed. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You understand, a live lamb, even if it was perfect, was of no value to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. The lamb had to be slain. And not only that, it had to be slain in such a way that its blood was shed and caught and placed upon the doorpost and the lintels of each and every single house. There was death in every house in Egypt in that night. Being without blemish is necessary. The lamb is necessary. However, the lamb is of no redemptive value while it is alive. It must be slain and the blood shed and the blood applied. You know, God didn't say, when I see the lamb without spot, I'll pass over you. He said, now God saw all that. God saw their lamb was without spot and without blemish. But God specifically makes this point. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we are told later in the scriptures that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we see the slain lamb here in this instance. In Leviticus 22, and look specifically, actually it's all through the book of Leviticus, but in Leviticus 22 and verse 21, let me get to the right spot. I don't trust my memory anymore. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beefs or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Here in Leviticus, all throughout the book, we see the lamb's perfection. The lamb is necessary. Oh, yes. Yes, the lamb is necessary. The lamb is provided. The lamb is a substitute. And the lamb must be slain and its blood must be shed. But here in Leviticus, the emphasis is on the perfection. The lamb has to be perfect. Now, it's been said before, it was said in Exodus of the Passover lamb, but here in Leviticus, it is said over 25 times throughout the chapter in one way or another that the lamb has to be without blemish, without spot. It says no blemish of any kind, inside or outside. It can't have a droopy eye. It can't have a bad back. It can't have a weak kidney. It can't have a cleft hoof or something, you know. It doesn't matter. The lamb has to be perfect, without spot, without blemish. It shall be perfect to be accepted. It's got to be perfect inside and out. What? Seen and unseen. The lamb has to be sound throughout. And that's what we see here in Leviticus. This is the lamb. Then, coming to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. Here, for the first time in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, this is the first time in the scriptures that a lamb is referred to as a person. Actually, in this case, a person is referred to as a lamb for the slaughter. This is the first time. He is brought in. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth, and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. The lamb, this sacrifice we've been talking about, the lamb that is necessary, right? The lamb that is provided and is a substitute. This lamb that is to be slain and his blood shed. This lamb that has to be perfect. In Isaiah 53, we see this lamb is a person. That's what this is leading up to. This is what we call progressive revelation. As you go through the scriptures, you get a little more with each illustration. And you put the pieces together. And it's put together for us in the New Testament. We'll get there if I get time. This is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is a person. A person is to be the sacrificial lamb, punished for the sins and the transgressions and the iniquities of his people. And thereby, with his blood being shed, with his being slain, with his being perfect, with his being provided, and with his substitution, what? Thereby, he heals and justifies many. How? For he shall bear their iniquities. That's substitution. The person who is the Lamb is the provided, acceptable substitute for the people of God. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, this lamb, the iniquity of us all. Does it start to make more of sense of a picture here now? We've got a necessary lamb. We've got a provided and a substitute lamb. We've got a slain lamb whose blood is shed, and we have a perfect lamb. And now we have the lamb personified. The lamb, all these sacrifices have been looking toward a person. And this is what that person is to do. John 1, in the New Testament now, and verse 29, is what I've got here. Excuse me. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Now this is John the Baptist. You can read it for yourself. It is John who is baptizing. And that next day, after he had spoken to some Pharisees, telling them that he was not the Christ, there was one coming after him that was preferred before him. John told him that. The next day he sees Jesus coming toward him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here we see the Lamb, who is a person. We've just saw that in Isaiah 53. This Lamb, who is a person, but we see the Lamb identified. It is Jesus of Nazareth. Behold the Lamb of God. John had just told these Pharisees that he wasn't the Christ. There was one coming after him. Jesus was born into this world after John the Baptist. But that's not all he told them. He said, this is verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one, what? Among you, whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. The Christ is coming. John the Baptist said, it's not me, but he is here. He is here. There is one that stands among you. He told that to these that were sent by the Pharisees. And guess what? You don't know him. You don't know him. He came after me, but he's preferred before me, and he's among you, and you don't know him. What else did John write? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was here. This is when Jesus walked the earth. He's here among you, and you don't know him. And the next day, John saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb identified. Jesus of Nazareth is the Lamb of God." Quickly now, in Acts 37, we see the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And this is the sweet thing. That Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. And read the verse I just quoted to you about being led as a lamb to the slaughter, and asked, "Is this man speaking of himself or some other man?" Talking about Isaiah, the prophet who wrote it. And Philip took that scripture and preached to him Jesus. What do we see here? Here we see the messianic lamb revealed, preached, and believed. Philip preached to this Ethiopian Jesus from Isaiah 53. And this man said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered, the Ethiopian, and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The messianic lamb preached and believed on in the world. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ," what? "As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Oh my. Here in Peter, we see the redemptive, resurrected Lamb of God. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God," what? "That raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The redemptive, resurrected Lamb of God. We are redeemed by his blood. The proof of this is that God raised him from the dead, being well pleased with him, his work, and his blood. In Revelations 5 and verse 12, we see, "Worthy is the Lamb." There are those crying out, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea," I heard them saying, what? "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne," that's God, the Father, "and unto," what? "The Lamb, forever and ever." Here in Revelation 5, we see the worthy, deified Lamb. Power and glory go to him. Power and glory are the exclusive dominion of God. God's not going to share his glory. God's not going to share his power. He has all power. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Lamb of God. He is God. He is the Word that was with God and was God. All power and glory belong to God. Therefore, the Lamb must be God. What? Forever. Forever. Now in Revelations 21 and verse 22, and it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Oh my. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Here we see the returned Lamb. This is on earth. This is on earth in the New Jerusalem, talking about the building of it. It gives all these dimensions and what they're made of, and gates of pearl and streets of gold. And there's just all kind of wonderful detail that I have no time at all to go into. But here we see the returned Lamb. He's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he's going to, when they're here, because now we see the reality of the temple in the Old Testament. The Old Testament temple typified the Lamb of God and the Father. They are the temple. "I saw no temple in the city." Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Everything in that Old Testament temple pointed toward the Lamb of God. Everything pointed toward Christ. There's so much more that I don't have time for, but this is the gist, okay? This is the tip of the progressive revelation of the Lamb in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Now, do you know this Lamb? Do you know this Lamb? The necessary Lamb, the provided Lamb, the slain Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the personified Lamb, the identified Lamb, the messianic Lamb, the resurrected redemptive Lamb, the worthy deified Lamb, and the returning Lamb who is coming to earth again to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to be worshiped. I pray that you know this Lamb. Will you have this man, this Lamb, to rule over you? That's the question.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.